At the beginning of this year, frequent commenter Stephen Roy wrote 5 brilliant guest posts covering some important F1 history. Now he's turned them from the written word into an audio feast, and we're proud to share them with you.
The fastest driver who never raced. Imagine if Rory Byrne, who designed the Ferraris that Michael Schumacher dominated F1 with, had found himself at Spa in 2003 with the latest Ferrari, but without a driver. Now imagine that he decided, with no driver available, he would get in the car and test himself. Now stretch credibility to breaking point and imagine he was as fast as Schumacher. Utterly impossible? Of course it is nowadays, but once upon a time. Rudy Uhlenhout was born in London in 1906, where his father was head of the London branch of Deutsche Bank. After studying in Munich, he joined Mercedes in 1931. In 1936, he was put in charge of the newly created Rennabteilung, or racing department. The Mercedes-Benz racing structure had been archaic, and there was little communication between the racing team and the experimental department, which designed the race cars and was generally led by old drivers with little technical knowledge. By 1936, there was a real need for action, as Mercedes-Benz had fallen behind Auto Union, who ran uniquely at that time with the engine behind the driver. The Auto Unions were designed by Ferdinand Porsche, who had designed rear-engined racing cars as early as the 1920s. Both teams were financed by the Nazi Party, and being the second best team was not a healthy place to be. Auto Union was formed from 4 companies: Audi, DKW, Horsch, and Vanderer. The 4-ring logo that Audi use today is actually the Auto Union logo, with 1 ring representing each of the 4 constituent companies. In those days, teams delivered cars to the track, and the drivers got in and drove them as they were delivered. There was no possibility to modify the cars at race meetings. Imagine an F1 team turning up today at a race meeting and have no option, no possibility whatever, to change any aspect of the car. Uhlenhout organised a test at the Nürburgring in August 1936 to try different tyres, suspensions, even to test the effect of putting 60 kilograms of lead in the nose to try and generate some front end grip. 2 of the team's drivers, Rudolf Caracciola, the most successful driver of the era and 3 times European champion in the 1930s, and Manfred von Brauchitsch, were in hand to test the cars. After 2 days they left, and with no other option, Uhlenhout, who had tested many road cars at the Nürburgring in his previous job, simply got in the race cars and drove them himself. He soon found some fundamental flaws in the handling and design, and was able to identify how to resolve the problems. The result was that the team pulled out of the rest of the races in the 1936 season after Auto Union thrashed them at the Swiss Grand Prix. All efforts were immediately focused in 1937, and the result was the W125. With this car, Caracciola won his 2nd European Championship, with von Brauchitsch and Hermann Lang also winning races that season. For 1938, a new 3-litre formula was introduced, and many of the lessons of the W125 were carried over to the W154. In 9 major races that season, the W154 took 6 wins, 6 seconds and 5 thirds. The results were enough for Caracciola to take his 3rd European Championship. A modified, more streamlined version of the W154 was raced in the 1939 season, a season that was never to finish. After the war, Uhlenhout worked on various Mercedes road cars, including the 300 SL Gullwing sports car. When Mercedes-Benz returned to racing, Uhlenhout returned to his previous position in charge of the racing department. He again produced great cars, including the W196, which gave Juan Manuel Fangio the F1 World Championship in 1954 with 4 wins from 6 races. The Indianapolis 500 was also in the championship at that time, but none of the regular championship competitors contested it. Fangio had started the season with Maserati, and won both the championship races he started with them. The W196 ran as a conventional single-seater, and with all-enclosing bodywork for better streamlining at some tracks. The 1955 championship consisted of only 7 rounds, including Indianapolis. Fangio won 4 of the 6 he contested, and took his 3rd world title. At the end of that season though, Mercedes withdrew from all motorsport as a result of the disaster at Le Mans, in which Pierre Levesque's Mercedes left the road, went into the crowd and killed 80 people. There is no doubt Rudi Uhlenhout was an incredibly talented driver and could have raced successfully had he decided to. It is rumoured that he did not because his wife was not in favour, or because he was simply too valuable to Mercedes-Benz for them to risk letting him race. During the mid-1950s, stories came out that at one test at the Nürburgring, Uhlenhout, who by this time was in his late 40s, went faster than Fangio. Now we all know that conditions can change quickly at the Nürburgring, and what had been a competitive lap time a few minutes previously can be beaten comfortably. Regardless of the accuracy of the comments, the fact that a man in his late 40s, who had never raced anything, can be suggested to be as fast, or faster, than the greatest driver of that era, is simply astonishing. In addition to the Grand Prix cars, Uhlenhout's department produced sports cars that won many of the great races of the day, including the 24 Hours of Le Mans, the Carrera Panamericana, and the famous 1955 Mille Miglia. Many of these races had equal stature to Grand Prix wins in the eyes of the competitors and of the fans. Following the withdrawal of Mercedes-Benz from motorsport, Rudi Uhlenhout returned to the road car operation, producing numerous cars, including the Uhlenhout Coupe. He retired from Mercedes-Benz in 1972, having never owned a car in his life. By this time he wore 2 hearing aids to overcome the deafness resulting from many hours of testing cars with unsilenced engines. Imagine Rory Byrne taking an F1 Ferrari round Spa faster than Michael Schumacher. Just think how impossible that is, and you get some idea how remarkable Rudi Uhlenhout was.